Certo, esatto. Maybe that's because I have to return it.
Hi, Jason. Can you hear me? Awesome.
I'm sure you probably also have a thing for what is this?
Okay, let's get started. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm Mark Haney. This is Vanessa French. We're from Lehigh University, and these are the Beatles nesting dolls that we brought along with us to help us out in our presentation. So clearly, based on the what I've heard and at the conference so far, folio reporting is a huge priority for many people. And it's been a large focus for us this year at Lehigh as well. At the beginning of the year, we needed to transition our reports in the LDP from to the new MetaDB format. But there are also some great opportunities with development in Folio apps and other reporting solutions as well. In July, we presented at the Reporting SIG about how we examined each of the new solutions and looked at their strengths and weaknesses, how various stakeholder groups might benefit from them. And much like the unique personalities in a fabulous 60s supergroup, there is a folio reporting solution for everyone according to their needs and preferences. So we're not going to repeat the presentation that we gave at the Reporting SIG because it is available in the recordings there, but we'll discuss our folio reporting tools, their unique appeal, and how we have used them with various projects and workflows at Lehigh. And we may get a little help from our friends, the nesting doll beetles, along the way. Just a little bit about our reporting history at Lehigh. So when we migrated from our vended ILS to open source in 2012, the biggest gap that many of us felt was in the area of reporting. Partially because our legacy ILS had a very mature reporting middleware with organization, with access control, and then also with APIs for advanced reporting. When we went to open source Olay, we had in-app reports, we had some canned reports, and then we had SQL access to table data. When we implemented Folio in 2020, our technology team did a fabulous job for us, giving us using APIs to give us reports, sometimes in Google Sheets, for workflows and business processes. And team leads were given access to the LDP for running SQL queries. Now we see in Folio the evolution of the LDP into MetaDB and other really exciting development in reporting apps. Our major goal is to shift from a model where subject specialists with the SQL access are running reports on a per request basis. We want to empower our stakeholders, whether they're staff, whether they're librarians or administrators, to be able to retrieve data from the Folio system in an easy and convenient way.
So the first reporting option we'd like to talk about is the List app, which we find to be the most approachable, the radio play version of reporting, if you will. Okay. So with the List app, users can create their own queries for holdings, instances, items, loans, organizations, purchase order lines, and users in the Ramsons version. It's fairly easy and intuitive for the user to build a query by selecting the desired fields, an operator, and the value to bring in a report. They can add additional complexity to the queries by adding and statements. But and is the only option available, or not available, not currently available. After building queries, users can select fields to appear in the report from a list of options. The available fields usually include related universes, so a purchase order line query can be made, and the user can add columns from the vendor organization, for example. After a list is created, if it is public, it will be available to everyone who has the permissions to see that record type, and the list can easily be refreshed to get updated results. Okay, so how do we use it? We primarily use list apps for two functions. One is working lists that need to be acted upon, such as reviewing open one-time orders for order cleanup work, or giving students a list of items that need to be looked for. The second function has been to keep track of progress of project work. So for example, we have started an item inventory of our circulating monograph collection, which adds a statistical code to every item that has been inventoried. So we've created list app queries to look for things with that statistical code in each library location. And by refreshing the list regularly, we are able to see the number of results increase, thus showing us how many items have been inventoried so far. Okay, so who uses the list app besides Sgt. Pepper era Beatles nesting doll Paul McCartney? Primarily access services and acquisitions team members. That's partially because of the records currently available to query in the list app, but also that we found our metadata team members need more complex queries than are possible in the inventory list. They're in the list app. The list app is particularly useful because it doesn't require SQL expertise to those who find MetaDB to be too much of a barrier or who don't have access to MetaDB. Additionally, managers who want quick project updates, such as the item inventory project example, have found it very useful.
Lists have helped us to shift from that centralized reporting style that I mentioned to giving staff direct access to reports. Lists are easy to create and entity-based. Query Builder gives a guided interface for field selection without having to navigate tables and columns in SQL. And stored field values are available in the dropdown. In lists, entity permissions are inherited from content permissions. Lists has a clear development path with new features arriving in each release. And this is an example of a list, if you're able to see it, that we developed for our summer inventory project to list items with a statistical code of inventory 2025 and an item status of missing, meaning that we inventoried the shelf location of the item, but the item was missing. And so by running the list, our staff are able to follow up on selected records that need additional searching. Here's a video with a very quick sample of how easily staff can refresh a list. And this way?
Take your mouse over this way.
Go ahead.
It's hard to do an extended screen on a trackpad.
So you simply open the list, go to the Actions menu, and click Refresh. Wait for the refresh to complete. You can see it's compiling at the top. And then you click the green, view updated list, and get the latest list of inventoried items that were discovered to be missing. Some challenges with the list app. The first one that I'll mention is, you know, for me personally, in building the list that I discovered right away, is that the builder interface can be deceptively simple. And so as with any reporting solution, one needs to make selections very carefully. As an example of this, so if you're working with items, I needed to be aware of how discovery status was going to impact my output. And that is true both at the item and at the instance level, I learned after consulting with my metadata specialist, Lisa. In this query, I also needed to filter out results that have an effective location of withdrawn, because that would just make the list inaccurate. So similarly in circulation, if you're working with loans, you have to be careful to limit your list to open loans. And then also, we have a lot of special user accounts, like library use accounts. We have user accounts for interlibrary loan, for example, and we didn't want the in many cases we don't want our loans reports to include that. So know your data, talk to your colleagues who have expertise on various record types. Some challenges we were concerned about initially with lists have already been resolved in the ransoms release. Primarily access control was a concern for us, but now in ransoms, record or entity types are based on content permissions. And some other pending development work that we're looking forward to are new record types and operator logic. The biggest annoyance for me that remains in building lists is that whenever you edit a list, it seems like there are default columns and they stay sticky. And even though you've unchecked them a million times, they always are retained. Many of them are machine readable data only. So hopefully we can get that resolved at some point.
Okay. So next we're going to talk about the Folio reporting app with unexpected depth. Thank you. The Folio reporting app has two main functional parts. There is a build query function that allows a user to develop a query off a MetaDB table and then save that query for future use. The other portion allows a user to run a query based on a pre-written MetaDB SQL query, which has been saved in our GitHub repository. Okay. So we don't really use the build query function very often because it requires a user to specifically know what MetaDB table their desired data point is located and the name of that field, which isn't terribly intuitive. But we are using the load report feature a lot. We have configured reports that can be pulled whenever a team member is working on a particular issue, such as mending books that have been previously identified as issues. Okay, so who uses the Folio reporting app besides Sergeant Pepper era John Lennon? Team members responsible for standard tasks where a list can't be created in the list app. Those who need expertise or who need to access the output of a more complex report from MetaDB without the SQL expertise.
So to assess the reporting app, we need to distinguish between Query Builder, which you see there, and saved reports. So first I'm going to say the strengths and weaknesses of Query Builder, and then we'll talk about saved reports. Query Builder, I don't have a lot of good to say about Query Builder at this time, but it does provide access to MetaDB tables and schemas through the dropdowns, but the navigation is difficult. There are filters, there are Boolean operators, and there are sorting and export options. So for Query Builder, some challenges. Unfortunately, there's no table joins, so no complex queries. That functionality is coming later. Values are not supplied in the dropdown, so you need to know what your values are beforehand if you want to use Reporting App Query Builder. Currently, also, there's no access control in the Reporting App. That's an issue that is currently under examination by a working group. So for us, Query Builder is the least attractive and useful reporting option for us. And we have to say we're not fans of the sushi icon either. And so we may put in a request to use the glass onion with John Lennon glasses as a substitute. But saved reports we like very much. Where lists are easy and friendly, like Paul, saved reports are deep and profound, like John. Lists are entity-based, and reports are query-based. So they are potentially more powerful. You can utilize joins, indexes, CTEs, and other SQL tools. Saved reports in the GitHub repository are useful because they encourage transparency, collaboration, and version control. The flexibility of saved reports makes them invaluable to us for our business needs. We have Bursar reports. Can you see them there? Yeah. We have some Bursar reports. We have circulation reports for high-risk loans. For example, users who are expired, but they have loans. Students who are graduating with loans, overdues, and then users nearing their renewal limit. And we have we've built reports to manage the inventory project that we've referenced a couple times today. Items that were inventoried and found to have major damage or minor damage, items that need spine label follow-up, or inventoried items that are actually withdrawn previous to being found on the shelf, or were missing from the shelf at the time of the inventory. So in summary, saved reports are difficult to set up, but very much worth the effort and very easy to run and export. So challenges with the with saved reports. For me, the thing that stands out is the organization is difficult. Mara, did you have a question?
Good idea. It's real quick. It's a vocabulary question.
Just when you refer to remote fields, are they just fields that are otherwise difficult to access through like the lists app?
I think they're fields that require table joins in order to sort of include in the output. And I'm trying to remember the exact use cases, but there were some instances where lists didn't give us the same reach and flexibility as saved reports did. For me, one of the challenges with saved reports is simply just like with the organization, it's very minimal. We've tried to sort of like work around it with just pledging some formatting, that could use improvement. And then also access control needs refinement. Our library selectors don't need the Bursar reports, and nor does the metadata team so that's why access control is currently under consideration by a working group. Reports are difficult to set up and to test. There's often no easy preview for reports. I've discovered sort of like a caching issue in Git, so that if you're updating your code, it kind of takes, I don't know the exact trick, before it finally propagates the changes that you've made. So it's not responding immediately sometimes to changes in your code. And then as others have noticed and mentioned, there's currently an issue with report columns being output alphabetically, but I think instead of the sort order that you specify in your report. And I believe that's going to be resolved in Trillium.
Okay, so on to in-app reports, where there are some hits if you look for them. in-app reports are available in Folio modules to allow staff to quickly retrieve and export system data in support of day-to-day operations, business operations. So in-app reports vary from module to module. Many in-app reports allow you to export the list of results from your search with filters applied. Some Folio apps like Users have pre-configured reports available to download independent of the search results. Okay. So we rarely use in-app reports at Lehigh. Some team members in the lending services team use them for maintenance on user accounts, but mostly we have other reporting options we prefer.
What we like about in-app reports. In-app reports are available in the module that you're working in, and so they're sort of like immediate to your workflow. And that's very valuable in terms of supporting your day-to-day operations. The data is current. That's good. And then the level of detail is very comprehensive. Have another question?
Yeah, again, it mentions, you know, the availability of the data, you know, and how easy it is to do. Does this, you know, the in-app report, does this address the access control that the previous, the reporting app does not have, and that it, you know, so if I want to look at, you know, a report of users or export users, I need access to the users app to do it.
I think that's a very good point, and I hadn't thought of that. So chalk one up for the strength of in-app reports.
Because the in-app reports are run from the module itself, you have to have access to the module to.
Yeah. So just a few examples of, I'm just going to move on to the challenges. The downside to in-app reports for me personally, and I believe for my team, and I'm just, again, speaking for resource access for circulation, that the output is too comprehensive. There's too much there. There's too many fields that we don't use. There's too many fields that are machine readable only. And that's not useful for staff. And so staff, when we export the results, in many cases, they have to do a lot of cleanup and preparation of the data before they can actually print it and act on it.
Okay. So on to MetaDB, where you can make reports as complex as your SQL ability allows. MetaDB extracts data from the Folio modules. Besides derived tables, the information is up to date. Users can create complex queries using SQL to get exactly the information needed. Okay. We use MetaDB to create complex reports, particularly those that cross different app modules. For example, if we want to analyze expenditures by publication year, that would require a report that joined the inventory app with the finance app reports. So who uses MetaDB other than Sergeant Pepper era George Harrison? I see that the joke has lost its effect, but I'm going to keep doing it. I noticed it before, but I'm not going to stop. primarily used for power users to create ad hoc reports. Managers use MetaDB to create more complex queries to load into the saved reports of the reporting app. Managers also using MetaDB to create reports to form the basis of visualizations and dashboards.
So MetaDB strengths and weaknesses. First, advantages. With MetaDB, one has direct access to current data. I guess unless you're in the drive tables, then there may be like latency. There's also the derived tables that I use myself to help to normalize and to aggregate data into a human readable format and structure. MetaDB is extremely flexible, only limited by your skills. You get quick results for kind of an iterative style of building reports. Let's see. SQL lets you ask almost any question of your data using joins, filters, calculations. We use complex queries to build reports on remote fields like item notes, condition, and statistical codes inventory. Because we control the queries, they're easy to sort and export. And then lastly, we can use our MetaDB queries as the basis for saved reports in the reporting app. And then challenges to MetaDB, it's somewhat centralized because only some team members are going to have access to MetaDB through DBeaver. There's a steep learning curve. There's a lot of setup involved. Onboarding is a challenge. There is a risk of errors and inconsistent results. And then lastly, security and permissions is still under review. So
finally, on to QuickSight, where reports can be transformed into visualizations and dashboards. So that's an example. QuickSight is a fairly new development to our reporting environment. It is the visualization tool that our institution provides, so we're trying to use it to enhance our reporting environment. Right now, we're experimenting with manually uploading CSV files of data to draw reports on. QuickSight allows data analysis, visualizations, data sets, dashboards to be shared with other team members if they have the correct QuickSight permissions. We think this will be particularly useful for library administrators who need to convey activity or value to stakeholders that may not be familiar with the detailed library work. Additionally, there are some team members, such as our subject selectors, that having specialized dashboards to overview collection management activities may be helpful. QuickSight's main opportunity is that we could create visualizations from complex MetaDB reports, so to speak, that need to speak to the needs of a particular question. Additionally, there is the potential to configure dashboards with not only MetaDB, but other library data sources such as gate counts, interlibrary loan statistics, to create a more holistic view of library value. But there are some challenges as well. Right now, we're not able to configure a live connection to MetaDB due to some security concerns, but we're investigating options to generate near-live reports. The current method of manual CSV files to make it hard to update configured analysis. Additionally, QuickSight seems to be less user-friendly than and have less functionality than other visualization dashboard options such as Power BI or Tableau. And institutionally, we found it challenging to know what it's possible to do due to user permission levels. Okay. And I think it was Jindal Paul who said it best. The insight you take is equal to the reports you make. Is there any questions?
Hi, just wondering about QuickSight. I'm Sharon Marcus from Cornell. Is that open source?
No, it is a AWS product, Google product.
Oh, okay.
Or Amazon
product. Okay. Very nice. Always interested in seeing new dashboard tools.
Yeah.
I wondered if we could go back a couple slides about you said you were sometimes there are errors on your MetaDB. Risk of errors and inconsistent results. I just wondered more about that.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge of learning what are the best tables to use for various types of reports, whether it's the derived tables for like loans items. I'm trying to think for loans or for the underscore T. Sometimes you just get different numbers from different approaches, and there's probably I don't know in what the reason is. I'm sure it's case by case, but you sort of have to do some work to make sure that there's consistency in output, but because you don't always see that.
I would also say that to configure a port properly, you need to know all the potential data available. So for example, if I'm trying to run a report of all my open orders, for example, or something, do I configure the query to say order status equals open, or do I configure the query to say open order status does not equal close? I'll get different results both ways because there are other options of a status. There's pending and reviewed, approved, and that sort of thing that could come up. And if I'm not familiar with all the other statuses besides open and closed, I'll get different results. So I more of a user sort of error, not necessarily MetaDB itself, but familiarity with the data you're trying to export.
Say, yeah, we've had a close relationship, closer and closer relationship with our cataloging staff, just to ask those kinds of questions. What are the different criteria that you use when you're entering this record, so that we can understand the results. And so it's actually a really helpful collaboration, because sometimes they'll be like, oh, it shouldn't be like that, or oh no, it's just that we do it this way. So thank you.
What is your user feedback or staff feedback concerning the reporting app? Are they liking it, or do anyone prefer it over lists, or just kind of interesting?
The canned reports from the reports that we're building, I'm sorry, the saved reports and reporting, and perhaps you can speak to that because you're doing a lot of the circulation functions. Are you finding the availability of saved reports versus the spreadsheet solution that we were that we also have available? How are you finding the new saved reports for your bursar stuff?
I'm Anne. I'm one of the lending services assistants at Lehigh University, and I think I would say that I really enjoy the saved reports. What's frustrating to me is that in my position, I don't know a lot of the background and how those reports are saved. So I personally, when I need to make a new report or list, I try to use the list app just because it makes sense to me. But the reporting app does give me a lot of really good information when I am loading a saved query.
Todd Olson, University of Chicago. I was just wondering, are you finding that the latency, the update of MetaDB is pretty good, or do you ever run into occasional latency issues? Or
Running MetaDB directly through DBeaver? I don't, in the record sets that I'm doing in circulation, I don't run into a lot of latency issues. Lisa, when you're doing inventory related reports, do you have that issue?
I use mostly the derived table, so the MetaDB doesn't really come into play with what I do. So I can't really answer that. Sorry.
The derived tables have a 24-hour delay, essentially. So,
All right, Mike, I'm wondering, does Lehigh use all of these options, or is there one or two that you use mostly, and the other two are just for people who really want to be different? And also, for this version of Ramsons, you kept referring to it as ransoms. Is that a Freudian slip or just a little joke?
Sorry about that.
That was probably me too. I'd say yeah. Freudian slip.
And tell me your first question again. I'm sorry. Three years them. So in September, we probably started building them like in May. And our inventory project, both our reading and our inventory have been going on just in the summer months. And so we're just sort of like getting up and running. But we do find them, I think we find them useful. For me, it's quicker to just run a list to get the current counts of where we are in our inventory. It's kind of fun to see every day the progress that our student workers have made on the inventory. So I have found it immensely helpful, but there is a little bit of a learning curve for staff in terms of knowing that they don't have to ask me for a printed list of missing items. They can actually, there is a list now, just go run it and print it and it's there. So still probably a bit of a learning curve.
Thanks. When you refer to in-app reporting, you described the essentially the search and sort screens in each app. When you talk about in-app reporting, would you say it's only in-app reporting if there's a way of getting it out of the system? Is that your definition of what a report is in this context?
I would say yes for me. If I can't export it, I don't consider it a report. There's functionality, particularly in the finance app, that I use regularly, but the report to export the budget is quite cumbersome, I find, to use, especially if you add all the expense classes. So like, I find the finance app good to use, but I wouldn't consider the in-app report from the finance report good because I can't. That what I can export isn't terribly useful.
Yeah, I mean, we're in lending services. We're using, let's see. So we have available to us in the user app, in the dropdown of the action items. Those are what I'm referring to as in-app reports. I think so far, like the Bursar reports. And are we still using some of the Bursar? They're available there anyways. That's probably the ones that we have used the most, but we're trying to utilize the saved reports.
So for in-app reports, a lot of the reports that we have saved in the user app, I use on a fairly regular basis for billing and looking for overdue items.
Apologies if this has already been covered. I just may have missed it. Let's say this looks like a very mature reporting ecosystem for Lehigh. Like there's a lot of already existing canned reports. If I were to come into that environment as maybe a new hire and I'm trying to get access to a report that doesn't exist, what does that workflow look like from the bottom up? Like, I'm curious how Lehigh has structured this depending on the complexity of the report in question.
Want to talk to that?
I think in some ways it depends on the particular role you have. You know, we have some pay grades that are lower than others, and I don't go into those going, and no, you should learn SQL. You know, that's quite a lot to ask of someone. So depending on the role, I would say they should talk to the person would talk to their manager, and then the manager would decide whether they need to create a report in MetaDB, load it into the reporting app and just pull it regularly, or does that person need actual access to MetaDB itself? So I think Jason's got. Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. So we have a question from the chat. Is there an ERD published somewhere? There's a link to the reporting SIG guide to reporting documentation to a schema spy generated doc, but the link doesn't resolve.
We'll fix that.
Are you from Boulder? You had asked. I wanted to say I went to University of Boulder's report, and the way they have a very systematic approach when they have a new user. Did you go to that presentation? Yeah, me too. Yeah, so I think we could use some of that at Lehigh because it is a little bit difficult. I don't know. I don't think we have that. And when I saw that structure, I thought we could probably use that.
MTSU has been kind of piecemeal for a long time. So going to more, seeing how other libraries are structuring this in a much more organized fashion has me envious and rethinking how we can. So I was just curious.
I did not go to that presentation, so did not have that information.
I guess also sort of going back to your question, originally, I am relatively new to Lehigh and certainly new to Folio. Essentially what I do when I need a report of some kind is that if I know that it's not something I can do in the list apps, I go to Mark because he's my supervisor. And if it's something that we know I'm going to be needing on a regular basis, he'll make that query, save it, however he needs to get it done. But if it's something simple that I know I can do, it's just as easy to go into the list apps and do it.
Any other questions? Oh, Haley?
Not really a question, but just an added bit of commentary for the question of, you know, which tools do we use, right, more than others? And yeah, Lists has that easy accessibility app. As a developer, I find myself using MetaDB queries all the time. And no disrespect to the Beatles, but to quote a different British source, I would say MetaDB is one reporting to rule them all, one reporting to find them, one reporting to bring them all into the darkness and find them. So you can run those reports from the app itself and from DBeaver, but the real power I see is that because the reporting app is in Folio and therefore there's an OCopy API to run a report using any query you want, you can, from another application, an external Folio tool, hit a Folio API to run any MetaDB query. And in an external app context, it can be a lot easier to hit a Folio API, especially if that app is already hitting other Folio APIs to do whatever else, than to have a direct connection to the MetaDB database. So it can be one API to rule them all, one API to do any GET query across any Folio data, and that's super useful for those of us doing integrations.
I wonder what the theme of Maccabee's next presentation is going to be. What a mystery. Are there any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you all for attending. We really appreciate it. Hope you had fun at the last presentation of the day. Oh, yeah.
I do, yeah. Thanks for being
with me. Wow. Okay. So.
And